faith, and it helps us understand more about God. And the bit of the Bible that you've got in your hands here is from a book called Philippians, which a guy called the Apostle Paul wrote to a church in Philippi. He was not just writing them a letter, he was praying for them. And this is part of his prayer. And I want to tonight, as we come to this, not just read this tonight, I want to pray it for us as we just spend some time thinking about it. So this is what I want to do. And I'm just going to encourage you, may bow your heads. You can look at it as you bow your heads, but I'm going to pray it, not just read it. Okay? So let's just pause and bow before God. And God, I pray that your love will overflow more and more in all of our lives. That you will keep on growing us in knowledge and understanding. For Lord, I want all of us here to understand what really matters. So that we may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's an amazing prayer. And it was a prayer for a bunch of real people, just as you're real here tonight. The people in Philippi, they were, the people, they had names. One of them was called Lydia. We know that. There was another guy, don't know his name, but I know what he did. He was a jailer. Imagine that. You would have had quite a story. Do you want to hear his story? I want to tell you a story. I'm afraid we haven't got it on video. It was from a long time ago. But I'm going to turn in the Bible to Acts chapter 16. And halfway through Acts chapter 16, I'm just going to read the story. Don't worry if you don't have your Bible. It's a story, so you get the sense of it. You don't need to kind of pore over all the details. But this is the story of one of the guys that Paul was writing to and praying for in Philippi. And he actually had met this guy some time back, because in verse 22, what had happened was Paul and his traveling companion Silas, they'd got in. They'd been speaking out and doing stuff a bit like what the youth do out on the streets, but the people around them didn't like it. And so they hauled them up and got them into court. And it says in verse 22, the crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. And upon receiving such orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. All they were trying to do was help people and spread the love of Jesus. Set people free. But some people didn't like that. Some people were making money out of others being slaves. So there they are, Paul and Silas, in this prison cell. And the next verse tells us what they were doing. It says it was about midnight. I don't know if you've ever had a midnight feast and watched the clock go over midnight. It was about midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, it says. And the other prisoners were listening to them. You can imagine it, can't you? These are the new guys who've come into the prison. They're beaten. They've been flogged on the back. They've been stripped. Their legs are in shackles, yeah, and they're chained, and they're praying and they're singing. You can imagine they were listening. And it says this, it says that suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew loose, and the jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself, we are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. And he then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household." And then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And at that hour of the night, do you remember what hour it was? It was like midnight. Middle of the night, at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds, and then immediately he and all his family were baptized. I love it. Lucy was referring to a baptism which happened last week in one of those videos, but I love that kind of picture of a baptism service at midnight there in this house as people expressed their belief in God. And the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them, and he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. And Paul hadn't forgotten him, hadn't forgotten the others. And so, he was praying for them. He was praying because someone hears us when we pray. You know, people have different views about prayer. And so I just want to talk a bit about prayer tonight. And I want to start by just using a little video clip of some people who were asked out in the streets, you know, what they thought about prayer. So here we go. We've got a little video clip. People just asked, what do you think about prayer? And this is what some of them said.
Prayer. If I don't believe in God, so it's going to be very difficult. As long as someone's has faith, so they believe in something, then I think prayer's fine. Prayer's fine. Yeah.
I believe in it.
Yeah, I think it's nice. I think it's something that's peaceful and gives you inner peace.
I think it has many beneficial consequences.
I think individual faith is perfect as long as it doesn't encroach on other people's views. But communal prayer can be quite terrifying.
I think prayer is important. I think prayer is important down to the individual, though. I think it comes down to the power of intention, the power of thought, and where you put your focus and your energy. I don't think it helps to shout a bunch of emptiness or even specifics to a faceless being in the sky without realizing what you're actually doing, what you're communicating with the energy that is being transmitted from your brain through thought.
Well, I do it. I think it's important, and I think it's something that's really meaningful. I believe in it, yeah.
I don't want to be harsh, but I think it's kind of a waste of time. I believe in Buddhism, I think, as a religion, if I did believe in religion.
It's something special and unique to the person themselves, and can be done in any which way suits you best.
So prayer, it's nice, maybe important. Kind of as long as you do it on your own in a corner. And as long as you kind of realize that maybe somebody, maybe they're not. And I want to say, prayer is not just important, it is vital. And it's not something you just do in the corner on your own. Prayer is something you can do in a prison cell with other people listening, and stuff happens when you pray. I've been away for 2 months in Ethiopia. I'd had some study leave, and I've come back, and everyone was telling me when I came back, they said, the summer's gone, it's not come. It's been raining for ages and ages. Anyone heard this? Anyone else been talking about this around? Everyone seems to have told me, you know, how's it been? The summer's gone. It's not come. There's this rain cloud. It's just been raining every day. And it's like, as I came back, people were very keen to tell me what was wrong with the country. And what was wrong with the country is that things weren't as they should be. We should have been getting sunshine, and instead it was rain. Does anyone else hear that or talk about that? And, I was thinking as I came back that people could tell that there was something that wasn't right. It wasn't as it should be. And prayer is in essence sensing that something is not right as it should be, that there should be something different. Maybe different in us, or maybe different in those around us. And prayer says, we're not just happy with the status quo. We want God to do something. And I kind of long for the day where I go away and I come back and people say, not just that the sun hasn't shone in UK for 2 months. People say, you know what? We just need more of God's favor and his sunshine, because his joy. I love the bit at the end of that passage where it says of the jailer there in Acts 16, it says he was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. People in this city, people in this country, why did they want the sunshine? Because they want joy. That's why they want the sunshine, and they thought the sunshine will bring them more joy, and it does a little. But you know what? Some will go on for a while in the summer, I think now, you hope so, and there'll be people who maybe had a little joy today, but it won't last. won't last all the time, because the only thing that fills you with a joy that can never fade, a joy that makes you sing even when you're in a prison cell, that is knowing and believing in God. So I want to start with saying, why does prayer matter? Prayer matters. Prayer, it's something you should do and I should do, and I want to encourage you, pray, because prayer, it doesn't just change things. Prayer changes the one who prays. Prayer, because it, for your own sake, it can make a difference to your very kind of joy level. You know, Paul and Silas, they were praying there in the prison cell because as they prayed, they were filled with joy. They cast their cares upon God. I was thinking, it's something, as I had some time on the walking along Hove lawns today, just everyone was out there, just piled out on the beach, and there was a lot of joy, and I thought, this is good, you can experience joy here. And I was thinking about Paul and Silas, knowing I was going to be speaking about them tonight. And I was thinking, it's quite amazing how they were experiencing such joy, singing, even when they were there. But they were tapping into something, a joy that is far, far greater, because they were talking to the living God. The sun that was shining on my face this afternoon, the warmth that it brought, as it traveled those 8 minutes from the sun, that was made by someone. That was made by God, who also wants to smile on my face. Do you know what it is to be smiled at by someone really important? It's an amazing thing. God's love shines in our life. And so they had this sense of God smiling on them. They knew that he was with them even there in the prison cell. Though it was a dark inner cell. Did you notice that? It's a dark inner cell. And yet the love of God was shining into them. And so they prayed and it changed them. And I want to say, pray because you get changed. In Ethiopia when I was there, I had a chance to speak on the phone to a guy who, when it was the communist time in Ethiopia and the church was persecuted, he was in prison for 7 years. And his name is Tesfaye Gebiso. We have a picture of him up here on the screen. And he, during that time, he was a Christian. That's why he was in prison. But he grew into a man who loved to worship God. Was reminded of him with Paul and Silas. And now he is like the Matt Redman, or the big, you know, music name in the churches in Ethiopia. This is one of his CDs. The guy who drove us around in the taxi loved to listen to it. And this guy, he very kindly spoke to me on the phone and gave me some encouragement about faith and about leaning on God in times. And, you know, he learned to sing in prison, because he learned to meet with God and pour out his hearts to him. So I want to ask you, have you tried praying? Well, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're looking for to find your joy. But I just want to ask you, have you tried praying? Have you tried talking to God, your maker, the one who loves you? There's a verse in the Bible that says, cast all your care upon God, for he cares for you. And doing that is a wonderfully releasing thing. So why should you pray? Pray for you. Pray for your own sake. But also pray for the benefit of those around you. You know those guys on the interviews on the street? You know, they were all very keen that prayer should be this silent thing you do on your own. You don't influence anyone. And I think we've kind of bought into this lie that, you know, if there's a God, he's a private God. If there's a God, it's the most important fact in the entire world. If there's a God, and he loves us, and he came in the world to die for us and rise from the dead, as the Bible says, those are not just private things, take them or leave them. Those are such wonderful bits of news that they're to be sung about, they're to be spoken about, they're to be shared in sensitive, appropriate ways. And Paul and Silas, they just couldn't keep them to themselves, even in the prison cell. And so as they prayed, others were listening. I find as I pray, that when I pray with my family, I can sense my family listening. I don't pray to them or for them, but I can tell they're hearing me. So one of the things I try to do each day is I pray for to God, and I say to God, thank you for my wife. And I do it where she can hear, because I want her to know that I'm thanking God for her. I pray for my children. I pray with them in their hearing so that they can learn how to pray and they know the kind of things I'm praying for them. I pray with others here in the church when they come, because not just does God know them what I'm praying for them, they know the things that I'm praying for them, and it touches and moves them. And these guys were listening intently. The thing that amazes me in the jail in Philippi is that when the prison doors flung open, it wasn't just Paul and Silas who stayed in the prison, the others who were listening to the prayers. Paul says, don't worry, don't harm yourself, we're all here. They were so struck by their fellow prisoners and by their prayers that they were changed. And I want to just encourage you, youth. I want to encourage you guys. It's great to hear you singing here. Don't be ashamed of your faith. Don't be ashamed to pray with and for others. Don't be ashamed to, sometimes be caught singing as you're going down the street or something. Because you know what? It touches people's lives. People think, well, how has this person got a joy and a peace in the midst of all that they're going through? So, don't be afraid and pray for the sake of those who hear you. But then also pray for God's sake, you know? As we pray, God moves. He loves to move in answer to prayer because then he gets the glory. He gets to advance his great and glorious kingdom. And he does it often in surprising ways. I don't think Paul and Silas were praying for an earthquake. Do you reckon they were praying for an earthquake? I don't think they were. But as they prayed, God moved. He shook the prison doors open. As they prayed, God moved in an amazing way, such that the jailer's heart was just struck to the core that there's this great God. And God will move in surprising ways. What I find as I pray is that God doesn't always answer my prayers the way I want him to answer them. But he does hear, and he does answer prayer. And he gets the glory as I cry out to him. And my relationship with him grows as I pray and as I seek to pray. So, pray for yourself. Pray because it does you good. Pray because it does good to those around you here. Pray because God loves to hear your prayer. You know, like if you're a dad, you love to hear your kid's voice, as long as they're not, crying in the middle of the night like my son does sometimes at the moment. But even then, when they cry, you move towards them because you're their dad. God loves to hear your voice. He eagerly waits to hear your voice. His ears bends his ear down to hear your voice. So pray for you, for those who hear you, for God and for his sake and his glory, but also for those you pray for. Because God does use those prayers. And so this here, if you don't know what to pray, is something you can pray for those around you. I pray that your love will overflow more and more. You know what our world needs? You know what Brighton and Hove needs? You know what Britain needs? It's not just more sunshine, although it's wonderful. They need more people who will live a life of love, who are not just going to be selfish and greedy. That's why it's wonderful, you guys, young people, you're supporting this Just Act work amongst Palestinians and Jews there in Jerusalem, disabled kids, just wonderful ministry. People who will just act in love. And I love this picture in the verse that Paul is praying and praying. Here we go. I just checked earlier that there is enough water in here. Whoa, that was going to be fun. You know, there's something about our love where we kind of like to keep it so we've got enough in the glass. So we give a little bit, I'll pour a little bit of love, scatter it around. Ooh, it's getting a bit low, so we don't want, too much to go. And we often in life, we get a bit worried that our love level's going to go down, so we don't give out anymore. And what happens if you just left that like that? It would go stale and stagnant. And there are many people who've got afraid of keeping on giving and keeping on loving, so their lives have got stale and stagnant. Don't be one of them. Allow God to so pour into your life that your love can just keep on overflowing. And the amazing thing about the huge reservoir of God's love is it pours into our lives that our love can abound and overflow and overflow. And Paul prays that it would overflow so that we can discern what is best. We would grow in knowledge and understanding. For he says, I want you to understand what really matters. Young people, but I also want to say those who are a bit more senior in years, even those who are well senior, keep praying for others and for yourself that you would be discerning in your life to know what is best, what really matters. I believe that your relationship with God really matters. I believe there is a God, and it's not just important for me, but it's important for you to know, because he's there and you will one day see him face to face. And so I urge you, as you love, to think about your relationship with God, to love out of your relationship with God, to talk to God about those around you, to help you love them more and more. And he says this, Paul, I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless life. This is a love that is pure and blameless. This is a love that's sometimes a bit foreign to Brighton and Hove. It's a pure love. We live in an age of impurity. But the call of God, the call that we can't do in our own lives, is to live pure lives. Heard someone once say that purity paves the way for intimacy. You know, it's not just intimacy with God, but even intimacy with those around you, those who will become special people in your life, maybe already are. That's another thing that really matters. Your close relationships, your future relationships. God calls us to be pure because purity matters and it paves the way for intimacy in those relationships. But to be that and to see others grow in that, we can't rely on our own strength and power. We need the power of God. And that is why we can look up and cry out to him, and he is able to come and work in our lives and the lives of others. So, what's the main thing I want you to take away from this time? Pray. Pray not just because it's nice. Pray not just because if you believe God, seems like an okay thing to do. Pray because prayer connects you with the God who is there. Pray when you're on your own. Pray when you're with others. Pray, and if you don't know what to pray, start with this prayer of Paul's. You can take it away. Pray it for yourself. Pray it for others. And don't be afraid of being prayed for. It's a wonderful thing to be prayed for. When I was in Ethiopia, the highlight of my time that I wasn't expecting, didn't go looking for, was when the students I was teaching, a bunch of Ethiopian students, they turned around and said, Pastor, can we pray for you? And it was a wonderfully moving time. And Sam, who's on the drums, came up to me after the service this morning. And he said, can we have one of those prayer times at the end of the service? A bit like what we did this morning, but a time when people are just able to come and receive prayer. And I was really encouraged by that, Sam. I was encouraged by his faith. I thought it would be a great thing to do something like that, but you just sort of want to be sensitive to how God seems to be leading. And I want to say that just confirmed it for me. It's like, yeah, as we talk about prayer, there are people here tonight who would love to pray for you. And they will pray, as it were, over you so that you can hear them and be stirred and touched and changed by what they pray. They will pray for you if you want. You can just come, and as you come, you can just say, I've never prayed before. Can you pray that I would grow and learn and pray? It might be that you, like the jailer, you've been kind of shaken by what's going on tonight, by seeing even people that you know praising God and having a confidence, a boldness, and you think, like the jailer, you know what? I believe that there is a God. I've never really thought about it before, but I do believe. And tonight could be a night where your life is turned around as it was for that jailer. It might be that you're going into a situation and you just need power or strength. Maybe you're going into a holiday and you know actually that sometimes it can be a time of drifting. You won't just be called back. Might be that tonight you need prayer for your prayer life. You're maybe even a mature Christian, but you've stopped praying. Really. And I'm going to just invite people to come forward and be prayed. I'm going to invite you to come and just receive tonight. God loves to hear us when we pray. And so there's going to be a bunch of team coming. The band are going to come up, and I wonder if they could just come forward now. The band, they're going to just be playing a song. And if you're young or if you're old, if you've never been to church before or you've been many times, this time is open to you. And it's going to be a bunch of people who will be prayed for. I wonder if Adam can come and pray with us as well here. Tim and Adam and Rosie and Nelia, they're going to come here to the front as well. And we're just going to, Steve, you could just come forward as well. We're just going to say we're available here to pray. And Graham and Margaret, they're available to pray. And, You know, in this time, if there's anything you want prayer for, maybe it's, you know, Sam and the guys were praying, may people get healed tonight. God loves to hear it when we cry out to him. Maybe there's something you need healing for. I know there are some people, and this is your last Sunday in Brighton and Hove before you head up north. And I just want to say, you know, it's been a real Riley family. You guys have been a blessing to this city. Please do come. I would love to pray for you and just send you off, as it were, in that way. Maybe you're heading into a new thing. Let's pray. And before we do, I would like to just pray a very simple prayer that everyone in your seat, you can just echo in your own heart with me as well. And it's a prayer that's like what the jailer would have prayed as he turned and said, I believe in God. And you know, if you've been going on with God, if you haven't, this is a great thing to just echo in your heart right now. So let's just bow our heads, everyone. And in your own heart now, as you just consider God, he's there. He hears you. Just say in the quietness of your heart, God, sorry for when I forget you and ignore you. Thank you that you always love me. Thank you for showing that in Jesus. I believe in you. Help my faith grow. Help me follow you. For I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.